Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Father Matt, welcome back.
Good to be back. This is it. I know. I feel it's a little bittersweet as we come to the final chapter in the Gospel of John.
Your favorite?
My favorite book.
Yes.
You know, but it's bitter in that, wow, okay, this is over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sweet in that there's a sense of, or there will be when this is over, a sense of mission accomplished.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm excited about it, but at the same
so
time, tinged with sadness.
Yes, yes.
But it's been good. I hope it's been, mm-hmm. I hope the people have enjoyed this
I have. Yeah. I have enjoyed this. I've learned so much. I've said that throughout from time to time. But I've learned so much. I mean, how blessed am I? I don't say lucky. How blessed am I to be the host, lector, whatever, and learn from you?
Yeah,
you know, learn from you,
and vice versa. And,
well, thank you.
Right back at you.
So here we are. We're going to be talking
21st chapter. 21st
chapter.
And I think the big thing, again, we're in the time of resurrection with the Lord. And as I've mentioned throughout this series, most of the events that John captures or was able to capture aren't mentioned in the other three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the highlight is turned on this conversation that Peter and Jesus have.
Absolutely.
As they walk
yes.
along the Sea of Galilee. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of, well, I'll talk about it more when we mm-hmm. get to it, but yeah, it's exciting. I think we're ready to go.
All right. The Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Jesus appears to seven disciples. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus and Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this he said to him, follow me. Jesus and the beloved disciple. Peter turned and saw following them the disciple whom Jesus loved, who had lain close to his breast at the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. The saying spread abroad among the brethren that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness to these things, and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things which Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful. I love that last line.
Me too.
It really speaks of the enormity of Christ's work, and it reminds us that whatever we know of Christ or think we know of Christ, we've only grasped a mere fragment of him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, all the books in the world, the world would not be able to contain all the books that would be necessary. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, that Jesus...
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get our minds around that, and it's incomprehensible sometimes.
It is, yeah. And it's meant by design, I would say.
Yes.
If we can comprehend God, if we think we comprehend God, it's not God we comprehend. So we come to the final chapter in our series on John, anyway. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it serves as a summary of all of the other chapters. There's so much going on here, and I'm going to use some, comparing and contrasting as mm-hmm. it relates to Simon Peter. One thing to note, too, Dave, on this and to our listeners is try to pay attention as you reread it. Hopefully, again, we want people to read this on their own, too, in some silence, of the use of the word Simon and Peter. Right. So Simon is the name John. John is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, I know that, but Simon is the name given him by his earthly parents. Peter is the name given him by his heavenly Savior. And so I think what John does there, and perhaps scripture scholars can tell me, is when he's thinking earthly, speaking earthly words, Simon. But when he is influenced by heaven, it's Peter.
Yes.
And then there's the admixture, a little bit of both, Simon, Peter. Mm-hmm. That's my little contribution to 2,000 years of theology there. Another thing that comes up in this chapter is...
Something to ponder, most definitely.
Yeah, it's something I think about. Another thing that comes up here again is this notion of not being able to recognize him. You know, we saw that with the Magdalene in the last chapter. She's just not able to recognize the risen Lord. And I think that's the experience of these apostles. But I think it's the experience we all have. Sometimes it's hard to recognize God. You know, it takes some effort on our part to think. I think of the story from 1 Kings of... Elijah, you know, like the word Elijah means a man of God, a man of Yahweh. And so when he's waiting on Mount Horeb, you know, the earthquake comes and the fire comes and the winds come. But because he's a man of God, he recognizes the voice of God in the whisper. And something's going on here with that. Mm-hmm. You know, these men are not yet sainted. That would come later. Because of that, they're just not able to... I'm saying they're not... They're at times they act like saints, at other times They act like jerks.
And humans.
And humans.
Very human.
Yeah, so...
Absolutely.
So after the events of Passover in Jerusalem, we find the apostles going back to the Sea of Galilee, or is this, as John puts, what's it, the Sea of Tiberias. Mm-hmm. Tiberias is a city right on the Sea of Galilee. I've mm-hmm. been through it a million times. So it's sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias as well. But it's this, just so our listeners understand, it's the same sea. So Galilee was the scene of his last miracle, as it was the scene of his first miracle, the wedding at Cana. At the first miracle, there was no wine. Now, there's no fish. So this miracle was the miraculous catch of fish. At this time, Peter is much stronger. And rather than asking, this is the contrast I'm setting up here, rather than asking Jesus to, the same sea, to depart from him, instead he leaps half naked. Mm-hmm. And goes toward the Lord, you know, forgetting what he looks like, comfort, companionship that was in the boat, and he swims about 100 yards toward Jesus. Mm-hmm. So here's the Peter part of Simon Peter.
Yes.
Right? when the others get to the shore, Jesus was preparing a meal for them. And then after their breakfast of bread and fish, that's an interesting breakfast, isn't it?
Yes.
Bread and fish. Mm-hmm. I feel guilty about the crunch berries I had this morning. Jesus turns to the man who had denied him three times, and he asks for that triple affirmation of love. Do you mind reading this, just that part of it again? The Peter, do you love me? Because I'm going to unpack this a little bit more.
Okay.
After they had finished eating breakfast.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep.
So there is, you know, that triple affirmation of his love. That's important. A couple of things I want to point out here, Dave. First of all, that love is a verb, right? And so what's he say? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. And there's probably something there to mind between feed lambs, tend sheep, feed sheep. I'm not going to get into that because I would be foraging in a land I don't know. Okay. But there's something else, and it has to do with the word love that's used here. You know, in English, we use love. It's probably the most abused word.
Yes.
Is love. Like, I don't know. I love all sorts of things, right? I love my family. I love Jersey tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I love Penn State football, right? I love all
and Holy Spirit
of,
Radio.
If you would let me, rather than jumping in, I would have just was about to say that. But so I love all.
I couldn't help it.
And we know it. What I mean by the kind of love, just simply by the context. The Greeks, which is what this is written in, they have different words for love, you know, because of the different degrees of love. And so, for example, there's eros, which is an attraction. You know, Freud took that and sadly reduced it to the erotic.
Erotic, yes.
Right. But that's the point of it is the attraction. So if I were to say somebody, I love pizza, you know, I mean, unless I'm totally bonkers, I am not about to marry a slice of pizza. Right. I mean, no, I love I'm attracted by the smell.
Yes.
And the taste and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Right? That's eros. But then there's another word that the Greeks have for love, which we see in this little, this conversation that Jesus and this Peter exchange. Have. It's exchange, philia. Mm-hmm. And it's a word that we're here in the Delaware Valley very mm-hmm. familiar with, philadelphia. Philia Adelphoi, right?
Mm-hmm.
The love of brothers,
yes.
right? The city of brotherly love,
mm-hmm.
right? That's,
yes.
And I can say this, having grown up in the city of, there's not a whole lot of brotherly love or sisterly affection, mm-hmm. for that matter, that mm-hmm. takes place. But that's what that means. So it's like a love, like recently there were the fires in Hawaii, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, I don't know anybody who lives there. Mm-hmm. So you watch the news reports and you say, oh, that's awful. On the other hand, I don't have a nervous breakdown over it. I say that's awful. That's our mm-hmm. and on the
we
other hand,
we commiserate. We
yeah,
empathize.
It's like, yeah,
yes,
because they're fellow humans. That's
yes.
philia.
Yes.
Okay. You know, it's just yeah. But I don't have a nervous breakdown over philia.
True.
Then there's the highest form of love, which is agape. Mm-hmm. Which is sacrificial love, unconditional love, mm-hmm. divine love. It was a word that the Greeks hardly ever used because it's so rare.
Yes.
But when Christ bursts onto the scene, it's used over 250 times in the New Testament.
Okay.
Agape, right? It's divine, sacrificial, mm-hmm. unconditional, mm-hmm. boundless.
Okay. I was not aware of the 250 number, but I know it was a lot. But
okay.
Thanks for educating me on that.
You're welcome.
And our listeners.
So you're welcome.
Really?
Okay. So now it's important to have that little lesson in Greek for this reason, because words are used here. So when the first time Jesus says, Simon Peter, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is why I should reread it. The word that Jesus uses there is agape. That is to say, do you love me in a sacrificial way? Do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me with no borders, sort of thing? And Peter responds by saying, Lord, I love you, but the word he uses is philia. So think of those, the people who, so, you know, your wife, you love her much differently than you love the people who lost their island. The whole island has been defiled, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's not that that's not tragic, but your response to something tragic to your wife would be much different.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
Jesus says, okay, feed my lambs anyway.
Yeah.
So he asks him again, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? And again, Jesus uses the word agape. And again, Peter mm-hmm. uses the word philia. So he says, okay, tend my sheep. Still want you to do something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Don't be a bum. Now, here's the third thing, the third question. He says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? But the word Jesus uses there for love is philia in Greek. And so in the translation you read, it said that Peter became grieved.
Yes.
But he's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he's sad is because Jesus basically is saying to Peter, I guess this is all you got, right?
For
so
right
he's
now.
Sad, right? Yeah. Right. So he's saddened by it, and he responds by saying, I love you. And the word he uses again there is philia. So if nothing else, he's consistent,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I love you like I, you know, like Guckin and Parker love the people in Hawaii
yes,
who lost their homes
yes,
yeah. in Florida.
He kind of matched him
yeah.
where he was. He matched where he was. Well, I mean,
yes, we lowered the bar.
Lowered the bar.
And he accepts
come,
it.
He had to come down. Yes.
But he still says, okay, feed my sheep. I think that's fascinating that Jesus accepts the little love that Peter's willing to give him, and still he doesn't strip him of his papacy like
yeah.
he's some Renaissance pope, right?
Yeah.
Instead, he says, feed my sheep. Take
yes.
whatever love.
Yeah.
I'll take what I can get and then go feed my sheep.
Yeah.
And then he goes off on that, you know, phrase, you know, you're going to be taken where you don't want to go at some point. I think, you know, we need to take that into account that, yeah, like we can't compare us. I can't compare myself to, say, Sister Thomas Ann. Mm-hmm. In our parish, you know, she's probably a saint, you know, and I'm not there yet, but I'm chipping away day mm-hmm. after day mm-hmm. after day.
As we all are, Father Matt.
Yeah, true. So Peter, this man who had fallen most deeply mm-hmm. and thoroughly because of his own weakness was certainly the best qualified, Dave, for strengthening the weak and feeding the lambs and tending the sheep. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Peter is us.
Yes.
Let's be honest. So he gave Peter full authority over his lambs and his sheep. And then he foretells that Peter himself will be subjected to the same fate that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And from Pentecost on, Peter was led where he didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. He was led to Samaria, into the house of a Gentile, Cornelius. He was led to Rome. He was led to a cross on Vatican Hill. You know, and so the man who was always tempting the Lord away from the cross, like if you go back to when Jesus first announced in mm-hmm. Matthew 16, 18, mm-hmm. when he first announced that Peter was the rock.
Yes.
I mean, right away, the next mm-hmm. scene, I want to say that's Matthew 16, 18. I think Matthew 16, 20, Peter's saying, no, you're not going to be crucified. I mean, mm-hmm. so he tempts in a yeah. certain, he tempts the Lord away from the cross, mm-hmm. and he's the first one to do so. He also happens to be the first of the apostles to go to the cross, you know? So mm-hmm. it's like Thomas that we talked about in the last episode of this, like yeah, doubting Thomas. Okay. He, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
Boom. He's off like a yeah. cheap suit.
Well, back to when Peter was trying to get Jesus to back off, or isn't that where Jesus came and said to him, Satan, get behind thee?
He calls him Satan.
Yeah. He calls him Satan. Yeah. Satan, get behind thee.
Yeah, you're thinking,
you can expound on that.
Well, he says you're thinking like men think.
Yes.
You know, yes. And we're called to think as God thinks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Christ gives us the Beatitudes. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. That's why sometimes I say in sermons, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's natural to get angry, but it's supernatural to forgive mm-hmm. and experience the peace of Christ. Like that's kind of what the Holy Spirit, Dave, mm-hmm. is
yes.
all about. Right?
Absolutely.
Like,
yes.
So that we're not thinking and feeling naturally,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
or that to acknowledge the natural feelings, mm-hmm. but then to rise above that.
Absolutely.
With the help of grace.
Not be bound by them.
Exactly. So here we are with Peter, and then we wind up mm-hmm. with going back to John, the one who had run into the tomb, telling us of the enormity of Christ's works. You know, whatever we know of Jesus, we've only glimpsed a sliver mm-hmm. of him. And then the gospel ends.
I'm kind of sad that we're coming to the end of this, but it's been a very enriching, rewarding series, Father Matt. Any words, final words, before we come to the end of this episode yeah. of the series on the gospel?
The final
of John?
Episode of the series of mm-hmm. John. You know, John is, the word John mm-hmm. means beloved. And John at the foot of the cross, our Lord says to his Blessed Mother, behold your son. You know, so I think the more we can meditate on, the more peace we find as disciples. Because when Jesus says to Mary, behold your son, John is standing there in place of all disciples up and down the centuries. And we have Mary as our mother, and we're beloved by the Lord. And if I could just urge our listeners here and you, Dave, and mm-hmm. hear these words for myself, I try to think of these things. You know, mm-hmm. Paul writes, whatever is good, whatever is just, whatever is honorable, think of these things. Well, I would add to that, let's never forget that we're beloved by God, mm. that that we're no different, no mm-hmm. different than Jesus. And then I would sum it up by saying, and we have Mary as our mother.
Amen. What I thought of, you know, Jesus loves us, and his love is so intimate and personal, and it's agape. Is it not?
Yeah, and like, even though we are like Peter sometimes, and mm-hmm. we say, I love you in a philia way, mm-hmm. a half-hearted way, Jesus doesn't say that to us. He says to us, you know, I love you in an agape way. You don't believe me? Look at the cross. Mm-hmm. If you forget that all the time, put a cross wherever you dwell, just to be reminded of that divine, Amen. Unconditional, boundless love that God yes. has for each and every one of us.
Wow. Father Matthew Guckin, thank you so much for gracing us with this.
My honor, really. Series. It's very humbling because if everyone knew me as I know myself, you know, it'd be a lot harder to love, you know. But I think if we're honest, I think all of us could say that, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm just glad that, you know, there's this, an adage that says that Satan knows our name but calls us by our sins, whereas Jesus knows our sins but calls us by our name, you know.
And Amen.
So let's just never forget that we are mm-hmm. like John the Apostle, John the Evangelist, loved by God.
Thank you, Father Matthew Guckin. I look forward to working with you in the not-too-distant future on more Scripture.
Thank you.
You're always welcome to come back, okay? Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. God
thank
bless.
You very much.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and talk to you soon. God bless.